Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
I would settle with just we say hello to
Let's
Zorn.
Let's say hello to Eric Zorn, absolutely.
You can change that if you want.
No, it's
audio,
flawless.
You have audio engineers here, very skilled.
Do you know Steve Bertrand? Did you ever meet Steve Bertrand?
I have met him, yes.
Steve wondered what would happen if we had you on and just didn't talk to you. We didn't ask any questions. We didn't acknowledge you. That'd be rude, right? Why would we do that to you?
It would be a little rude, yeah.
It would be rude. I'm not doing that. Wendy, are you in or out?
No, but I said Eric would just talk anyway.
Oh, you
I mean, you don't really need us.
I would interrupt, yeah. I don't really need you. What happened? if I like came here and you guys introduced me and then you guys just left.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
And I pretend that you were here and I go, Bill, don't you know the answer to that? And I didn't think so. Well,
when Wendy and I worked at The Loop, we had a producer named Ross, and we used to do this thing with him where we'd ask him to come into the studio for a little bit, and he'd come in, and then both she and I would leave, and it drove him nuts.
He wasn't one of those producers with dreams.
He didn't want to be on the air.
No? He'd sit there and talk and go, all right, come on, guys. This is enough.
Yeah, he'd get very upset.
Okay, yep. Well, it's hot out today.
Yep.
Guys, come on.
Yep.
Come on,
that's
great.
That was big really fun.
You should try that with
me
sometime.
We were mean.
We were mean.
Try it with me sometime, and I'll take over
fine.
The damn station is
you'll
what I'll do.
You'll be so good at it.
I won't even yield to Bertrand at noon.
How about
get out
that?
Of here with your business lunch.
How about
I don't think so.
I've never said this to you before, but I'll say it to you now. Let's talk about nursery rhymes.
Les, I asked Jasmine to pull a little sound clip. Does she have that ready?
I think so, yeah.
I do.
Yep.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home.
So there you go.
That's beautiful.
Did you ever play that with your kids?
You know, I don't think we did.
I did all the time, but we didn't sing it.
No, singing it's weird. I was looking for something online where someone just says it or does it with a kid with
their little piggy went to market.
Right, and you know, you do it with the toes. You start with the big toe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the educational value of this is, but it's interactive with children, okay? So a couple of days ago, a woman, Angelic Girl XD on Twitter, she tweeted this. She says, I'm 22 years old, and I just realized that this little piggy went to market doesn't mean he went food shopping.
Oh, no, no.
Well, I knew that.
He went to be slaughtered.
He went to be slaughtered.
Right.
I'm 60 years old, and that never occurred to me. Now,
really?
I haven't done this with my children for several years. Yeah. So they're in their 20s now. So
when they're in from college, you don't do a quick round of this little piggy?
When they come in, if they happen to be barefoot, sure. Yeah. Sure, but it's just been a while since they've been barefoot. That's
well, that's why the little one went wee, wee, wee all the way home to try and get to safety.
In my mind's eye, when I was doing this, I always pictured like a little pig with a basket under his arm.
Honest to God.
Walking
picking
to the
up
market
essentials.
To get some groceries. Yeah.
Pigs
to get some...
don't carry baskets.
Well, pigs don't eat roast beef either, do they? I mean, I don't think.
That's
no.
A good point.
No.
Anyway, this has gone viral.
Yeah.
This is ruining childhoods for people. So all of a sudden they're realizing that this cute little thing you're doing with your kid means this pig is going to mark to be slaughtered
right.
at the market.
Right.
Now, you can't just pretend
dark.
He's going to Mariano's, you know? I mean, what's wrong with that? But this is always what I thought. Like I say, to the extent that I had really processed this, I thought it was kind of strange that a pig ate roast beef.
But don't you think most of the little kids that are having this game played upon them are imagining, because when you're a little kid, you don't really think about the semantics of a pig being slaughtered.
Right.
So I think for most children, I think they are in the belief that it represents exactly what you described.
And so at what point in your life does this dawn on you? Well, I mean, when you're a child, you're hearing it, you're thinking, okay, the pig's going to market. And then there's like 20 years in your life where this is not part of your life.
Right? Yeah.
Where you're just like, you know, you don't have kids yet. And
but
I mean, how many high school kids out there are thinking about this now?
No, probably none.
All your listeners are.
Most of them. Yeah. But even like the part of Ring Around the Rosy Pocket Full of Posy where it's ashes, ashes, they all fall down. Even as
they
a
had
kid,
the plague.
That was about the plague.
It was about the plague. Well, it just got me thinking about other like things that we talk to our kids about, the little nursery rhymes, things we say. Are you familiar with Goosey Goosey Gander?
Yeah.
Goosey Goosey Gander, whither dost thou wander upstairs, downstairs, in my lady's chamber? Now this part. There I met an old man who wouldn't say his prayers. I took him by the left leg and threw him down the stairs.
Oh, that's not nice. There's nothing nice
that's
about
not good.
That, Eric.
That's not good.
Nope.
I don't understand that. London Bridge is falling down. This is an infrastructure problem, clearly.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But why is that a nice thing? It's like...
That's disastrous, what that is.
The three blind mice, the farmer's wife cuts off their tails.
With a carving knife.
They're already blind. I mean, taking advantage of these mice who can't see, they cut off their tails. And what good does that do?
Right.
Cutting off their tails. Seems wrong.
Right.
Rockabye baby, right?
In on the treetop.
When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. And then
when the bell breaks,
the cradle will fall.
And down will come baby.
Cradle and all.
That's not good.
Blat.
Right.
That sounds awful.
You shouldn't put a baby in a cradle in a tree, ever. That's there's the never lesson. A time where that's right.
There's actually instructions on the cradle that say not to do that.
Not to be and used in trees.
Anyway. Peter, pumpkin eater.
Had a wife.
Couldn't keep her. Yeah. He put her in a pumpkin shell.
Yeah.
And there he kept her very well.
She had it coming. You know she had.
He couldn't keep his wife. She had agency. So he puts her in a pumpkin shell.
Yeah.
This is not right.
What is this telling
our children? Sing a song of sixpence.
A pocket full of rye.
4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie.
That is
disgusting.
Cruel.
Yeah. Making birds in 24 birds in one pie.
That's not enough room.
That's awful. That's terrible. And the last one I thought of was Georgie Porgy putting a pie. Kiss the girls and made them cry. Now, come on. And when the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgy ran away. Georgie Porgy is not only a sexual harasser, he's a chicken.
He's scared.
He's scared.
Georgie Porgy's a scaredy cat.
I guess, Humpty Dumpty, too, is not a happy story.
So when we wonder why little kids are having nightmares, I think the answer is just in what you just told us, is that all the stories and fairy tales that we're reading to them before they go to bed are all dark and horrible.
Are traumatizing.
Even a prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And we had this Andrew Santino on from I'm Dying Up Here, and he said, I'm having a kid. I don't want them to say that because it's scary. I changed the words to that. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Angels are watching from up above to bless me and everyone I love.
So my kids still know that one. Yeah, you should trademark that.
I should.
You could quit this lousy radio job and retire on the royalties.
It's just so much nicer.
Yeah.
It is nice. Yeah. Die before I wake. That's terrible.
I know.
And down will come baby, cradle and all.
God, crash.
Spot. Awful.
It's terrible. But the idea of the pigs going to market, though, it's like, I can't let go of this.
Wait, can Mary talk to you about that? Mary, you agree with Eric, huh?
Yeah, I agree with you, Eric. I'm 79, and I always thought the pigs went shopping.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
At Piggly Wiggly.
I was mighty surprised to hear you say that.
But so many people are like, Wendy and Bill are like, yeah, of course. The pig went to slaughter. Well, why did they say this little piggy got slaughtered?
Yeah.
I felt bad.
Well, I realized it.
Thank you, Mary.
I think a lot of people, like, there's a moment where you go, oh, wait a minute. That's not quite what I thought it was, right? But you never had that moment.
I never did until I saw this tweet. Half the reactions on Twitter are like, of course, you idiot. Of course, you go, what do you think? The pig's going shopping. And the other half of the people are like, yeah, I literally had in my mind's eye like a pig with a basket.
Right.
Standing up like pigs
do. See, I need orange juice. I need hot dog buns.
Bacon.
Yeah, bacon for sure. No, that's cannibalistic.
And the Rockabye Baby, a bunch of texts are coming through that the new ending to that, and Down Will Come Baby, Cradle and All, it has been changed to Mama Will Catch You, Cradle and All.
Happier ending.
That is a much happier.
Much happier ending. Yeah, all right, we'll take a quick break and then more with Eric Zorn. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. How are things shaping up in the governor's race, Eric?
They're very bad for the governor right now.
Yeah.
There's a poll last week. NBC Marist put out a poll, and this is one of the first. We call them scientific polls that's independent, it's not like a phone-in poll. This is where the people are actually out in the field trying to figure out what public opinion really is, and it's not commissioned by any one of the campaigns. And occasionally you'll get, a campaign will write to you and say, our polls show us way out in front. Willie Wilson's mayoral campaign tells me their polls show Willie Wilson winning.
So
that would happen.
Sure.
But anyway, this is a fairly scientific poll, and it shows that Governor Rauner is losing by 16 points to Democratic challenger J.B. Pritzker.
Does that surprise you? Because it surprises me.
It surprises me that it's that big at this point. I looked back at our files from 4 years ago at this point when Governor Rauner, when Governor Quinn was defending against the challenge from then citizen Bruce Rauner. And the polls then were showing Rauner up by about 3.5 points. There's a from August 2014. There's an article in Crain's talking about Rauner being up by 7 or 8 points. And he ended up winning by about, I think, 4. He beat Quinn by about 4 points. So when you look at this margin now that Rauner's behind, also his unfavorables are 2-1 over his favorable ratings. The people don't like this governor. And he's had 4 years in office to turn things around, and he has failed to do that. And I think this is really, really dragging him down right now. But we're really just entering the home stretch. And what's been interesting to watch is that Governor Rauner is hammering really, really hard on Pritzker as someone who's going to raise taxes. And he's been hammering him on being too close to Mike Madigan and therefore being corrupt the same way that
right.
he says that Mike Madigan is corrupt.
Right.
And we believe we've talked about that on this show, which is this is Rauner's theme, which is that Mike Madigan is really the source of all the problems, including his problems for the last 4 years. And so he's been hammering this over and over again, and it has yet to get any traction. On the other hand, I think there's a lot of people who are really just starting to pay attention to this race. Now, this happens that over the summer, people are busy doing things. They're going to family reunions, and they're going to the beach, and they're on vacation. And then they get back, and after Labor Day, traditionally, is when people really supposedly start focusing in on these yeah. races and paying attention. Pritzker has been flooding the airways. He's been outspending Rauner, I think, 3-1, if you count the ads on. Rauner's campaign ads that you see on TV, and they're a lot of them on the Cubs games, if you guys ever watch the mm-hmm. Cubs anymore, now that you're a White Sox
fan. Mm-hmm. Sneak
never
a peek from time to time.
Once in a while, you take Cubs. A look.
Yeah.
Never have.
Never will. But a lot of them are very negative. He's really going strongly negative because Rauner doesn't have a lot of accomplishments to point to. Now, he is right that everything, the things that he wanted to try, he couldn't because there's a strong majorities of Democrats in both chambers of the General Assembly. So the things that Rauner wanted to do, he couldn't do. He couldn't get through the General Assembly. The idea that Mike Madigan himself stopped these things, I think, is not true.
I think
that you're having a Republican governor and asking Democratic lawmakers to violate their, basically their principles, their core, to go and give Rauner what he wanted. That just wasn't going to happen. Rauner never has figured out how to work with Democratic majorities the same way that, say, Governor Edgar did, the way Governor Ryan
yeah.
did, the way Governor Thompson
yeah.
did when they were facing Democratic majorities, that you need to, meet in the middle somewhere and play ball. And in fairness, Governor Blagojevich, who was a Democrat, never figured out how to work with the
not.
Democrats down in Springfield. So you've got a problem where he has not been able to get any traction. A thing that you're going to look for from Rauner in the next couple months is he's going to keep hammering Pritzker on Pritzker's proposal to have a graduated income tax. There's in Illinois we have a flat income tax. It's now 4.95%.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3%, and then they moved it up to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they've been moving it around, but now it's at 4.95% flat, no matter how much you make. The federal income tax, as you know, is graduated, so the more you make, the more you pay. And Pritzker wants to amend the Illinois Constitution to allow for a graduated income tax like you have in Iowa and you have in Wisconsin and in most states in the Union. You have a graduated state income
right.
tax. Pritzker wants to do that, but Pritzker will not talk about what brackets he wants and what rates he wants. He just says, this is the fundamental principle. He says, well, I'll work that out with the General Assembly when this happens. And Rauner has taken one Democratic proposal that would have raised taxes on a lot of middle-income earners, and he's basically saying, well, if Pritzker won't tell you what his rates are, what his brackets are, we're going to assume that there are these brackets that other Democrats have talked about, and
uh-huh.
then we're going to say that most of you are going to pay more in taxes because of this. Now, there's all kinds of, analysis you can run about why that might be true or might not be true. Pritzker is just staying away from this, and he's just sort of hanging back. I think with a lead like this, he's going to be running more of like a Rose Garden strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want to give Rauner very many debates. Rauner wants 12 debates. Remember how many debates Rauner gave Jeannie Ives when the conservative woman was challenging him in the primary?
I don't remember exactly.
They had one joint
one?
Appearance at the Tribune editorial board.
That was it.
And Jeannie Ives cleaned his clock,
yeah.
and he wouldn't appear before again after that.
Done.
So for him now to say, oh, the people need to have debates is a
yeah.
little hypocritical.
Real quick,
so, yeah.
what do you think of the commercial where the whole theme is, can Bruce Rauner change? and they use his clothing as a metaphor for change, and they show him wearing one hideous outfit after another after another, to the point where at the end of the commercial, I think there's 12 panels, and he's dressed horribly in each one. So they're using it, like I said, as a metaphor for can he change, and they show his clothes, but they mean can he change his ideals. It's a very effective commercial, I think.
It sounds very funny. I don't think I've seen it, but
I've seen it several times.
I mean, the thing is that the question that Rauner can't answer right now, I talk about the question that Pritzker can't answer. The question Rauner can't answer is, what's he going to do differently in the next 4 years? Because the Democrats, it's going to be, I think, a blue wave in the entire country. I think the Democrats, I know the Democrats
not
are going to hang on to
the entire country.
Well, maybe not the entire country. But
a lot of the country.
But the Democrats are going to hang on to the state Senate for sure. Almost certainly they're going to hang on to the House. Yeah. Mike Madigan's going to stay in power. So what's Rauner going to do differently? He doesn't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting, and so people are going to start paying attention.
That's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Have a great week. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We're all off next week. Stick around. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has next. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.